So this reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And I want to ask you a question. Is there a black dog sitting beside you this morning? Does he need taming? I want to speak about this subject this morning because we're all aware of what happened this week with the death of Robin Williams. The public outpouring of emotion and sympathy and empathy is tremendous. This man touched a huge amount of people's lives. And whether they knew him as Mork from Ork or Captain My Captain or as the DJ in Good Morning Vietnam or as a lovable, hope-inspiring doctor in Patch Adams, Robin connected deeply in a lighthearted way with such a cross-section of people. And now he is gone in the most tragic of circumstances. Even today, I hesitate to speak about him because some people would say it's too soon to address this subject. And even as I speak about this subject of the black dog of depression today, you might very well think that, well, he has no qualifications to speak about this subject. Maybe I haven't got any letters after my name, but I can tell you this, that as a pastor, I might not be qualified to speak about the physical nature and effects of depression. I might not be qualified to talk about the personality types that are prone to depression. However, I am all too aware of the spiritual causes of depression, and that falls within the realm of the pastor's job. A job that in the past has all too often been sidelined by the health professionals. What I am saying is that in a spiritual sense, we can feed the black dog. You know, I've got a dog, Liz and I have got a dog called Chiggy. Many of you know him personally. And he always hangs around me more when I've got food on my plate. And even more so when I actually feed him food off my plate. And Liz is constantly saying to me, you've been feeding the dog again, haven't you? The dog will always hang around you if you feed the dog. And today I want to respectfully point out that there may be things about our lives, about our moral character, about our spiritual practices and preferences that attract and feed the black dog. So that's the first thing. As a pastor, I should have something to say about the spiritual causes of depression. Secondly, here at LifeSpring, we have created an ethos of acceptance in which all people are welcome and people can speak about their issues and their problems. We do not have a culture here in which we encourage people in any way, shape, or form to isolate themselves or to bury their problems or to not speak about their problems. In actual fact, here we run a group called SHARE, run by Amanda Brough, where people with mental health issues, as well as, may I say, those who want to help them, are welcomed to join. So that's the second thing. It's our ethos, it's our culture here at LifeSpring. And thirdly, and most personally, suicide touched my family in a very personal way about 20 years ago when my nephew, a brilliant young student at Dublin University, went to France in the spring, I think it was of 94, and he never came back. So suicide has touched my family in a very personal way. So has depression. I suffered from depression myself after my own personal crisis in the mid-1980s, when I was looking for a change of direction in life, and I ended up on my own in Mansfield in a job I really disliked, with no friends, living in a bedsit. Did I suffer from depression? Yes, I did. Did I know what I was going through? Not really. I never went to a doctor, I never sought help, I never sought medication, but I will tell you in a moment about a number of things that helped me through those very dark days of my life. So this morning, have no fear, I'm not going to judge anybody. It's not my place to send anybody who's committed suicide to hell, or anybody else for that matter. My concern today is to address this subject in a practical manner in order to provide spiritual guidelines for anyone with a black dog in their lives. Number of things that helped me keep the black dog at a distance. I didn't go for medication, as I said. Medication is not for everybody, and me personally, I'm very happy that I didn't. It perhaps took me longer to recover, but this is what helped me. This is my personal testimony. Number one, finding a good Bible-believing church and staying with it. Fellowship with good people. Fellowship with healthy people. Being with people who don't have mental health issues. Yes, it's important to be with people who do, but more importantly is being with people who are strong, people who are positive, people who are filled with the Spirit, and people who have faith. I very much appreciate that at the time, my temptation was to isolate myself. And there were times when I dragged myself out of bed on a Sunday morning and I got myself into church, and now, boy, am I happy that I did so. I value faithfulness and loyalty very, very highly, because that is something that I have tried to practice even in the darkest and the deepest days of my own personal suffering. The first thing was being in church, because I want to tell you, and as I keep saying, here in this church, LifeSpring is a healing center for Ullerton. When you have a physical problem, you go to the doctor. When you have a spiritual problem, you need to be in church. Amen? The second thing that helped me was my personal relationship with Jesus. I held on to my relationship with Jesus at all costs, in spite of the difficulties and the darkness and the temptations of those days. I never forsook my relationship with my Lord Jesus. And I am in love with him more today than I have ever before, because he's the one who guided me. He's the one who helped me. He's the one who brought light into my life. He is indeed a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Value that relationship. Feed that relationship with Jesus. Hold up that relationship with Jesus above any other relationship in your life. So, fellowship and church, feeding my relationship with Jesus, and the third thing that helped me was meditating on God's Word. God's Word is a powerful tool to have in your arsenal of dealing with the black dog. I'll come back to that in a moment. Now, depression has many causes, and it's sometimes just simply a physical condition that's not related to any spiritual problem. It can be disruption of the chemical processes of the brain. It can be a low blood sugar. It can be a thyroid problem. It can be imbalances in levels of estrogen or adrenaline. It can be a viral infection such as the flu. It can follow a disease called malaria. I had malaria several times in my life when I was in Africa, and the deepest depression that I ever suffered was after I had malaria. You just feel, what's the point in being here? What's the point of living? Why am I here in the middle of this place, having left my homeland with very few friends? Why on earth am I here? Those were the darkest days of my life after I suffered from malaria. One's spiritual condition alone cannot always overcome depression that has a physical cause. You know, when I was suffering from malaria and the depression that came with it, the spiritual remedies that I had in my life didn't help. It was caused by a physical illness. If you have a depression that is caused by a physical illness, then, as the video this morning said to us, go and seek help. Prayer will help. Seek God first of all, but go and seek professional help. These illnesses must be diagnosed and treated by a qualified doctor. And this type of depression is called clinical depression. However, many, many kinds of depression are spiritual in nature. They're not related to our physical condition, and they have a spiritual root. Depression is most serious among those who are hurting, the divorced, the widowed, the unemployed, the guilty, and the lonely. And when you lack self-esteem, not feeling important to other people, and a sense of lack of intimacy with God, all these things may contribute to depression. It troubles you that something is wrong in your world. My depression back in the mid-1980s was sparked by my sense that I was now over 30 years of age and I hadn't achieved and didn't look like achieving what I had set out to achieve in life. So there's a sense that there's something wrong in your world. What initially bothers you can be anything. It can be rejection. It can be loss of health. It can be family problems. It can be unemployment, financial difficulties, fear of growing older, and so forth. I felt trapped in my situation. But the most important thing is not what's bothering you. The most important thing is not what happened to you. The most important thing is not what hurt you or who hurt you. The most important thing is how you're handling it. This is what leads really to depression. This kind of depression, can I say it this morning, it's not an illness. I'll say it again. Depression that is caused by hurt, by rejection, by relationship problems, is not in itself an illness. It's a natural thing. It's natural to feel sad when you lose somebody. That's a natural thing. However, if we don't deal with it right, it can lead to a clinical illness because we don't always understand the nature of the relationship between how our mind works, how our spirit works, and how our body works. And handling things wrongly in an emotional sense can lead to deeper problems in our lives. And so if we don't deal with these things that happen to us in life that cause us hurt and rejection, it can lead to deeper problems. And I want to talk just for a moment about four things that will attract the black dog. These are the four stages associated with a major trauma. They don't come in this nice, neat order, listed order, by the way, so keep that in mind. Number one is denial and isolation. When you suffer a rejection or a loss or a death in the family, many people just don't want to know. They want to push it under the carpet. They want to pretend that it hasn't happened. They want to hide their true feelings. And sometimes that happens behind laughter. Somebody wrote to me this week. He said, Robin Williams was a man who had mastered the art of hiding his feelings of worthlessness and sense of despair that comes with depression by making people laugh. He said, I know from experience that it is utterly exhausting trying to hide behind the mask of a clown day after day, day after day, living in fear that it will slip, only to reveal the person that you despise. So whatever you do, start being real. Talk to somebody. Get professional help. Get counseling or therapy. The earlier you do it, the better. If you isolate yourself, you are creating an ethos around yourself for the black dog to thrive and to be attracted towards you. That's the first thing. Isolation will attract the black dog. The second thing that will attract the black dog is ongoing anger in your life. Because as the masking effects of denial and isolation begin to wear off, the reality and its pain reemerge, and you will feel angry. You will feel hurt. You will feel that life has dealt you a bad hand, that people have hurt you, that they've let you down, they've betrayed you. And if anger is not dealt with and you allow this natural process to take a hold, anger will turn into bitterness. And this is then a big spiritual problem. Amen? So don't allow anger. And again, anger can be a natural thing, but don't allow it to turn into bitterness. Another stage that I'm not going to deal with very much this morning is bargaining. Bargaining with God. And of course, the other thing that will attract the black dog is self-pity. In essence, spiritual depression is a form of self-pity and fear. Whenever we become discouraged or defeated or embittered by our circumstances, we are really questioning God's sovereign control over those circumstances. So these are things that will attract the black dog. They create an atmosphere or an ethos around you which allows the black dog to grow. Now, in the video this morning, we saw the gentleman said that he was able to teach the black dog a few tricks. That's what we need to learn to do. We need to teach the black dog a few tricks, because there are some things the black dog does not like. So I'm going to talk about a number of things that the black dog hates. These are sticks you can throw, and the black dog will follow them. Number one is repentance. Number two is forgiveness. Number three, trust in God. And number four, flood your life with God's word. So let's just very briefly talk about repentance. Repentance means squarely facing up to your any sense of rebellion or self-centeredness or anger or bitterness or self-pity that you have in your life, and acknowledging that these things are not pleasing to God. When we give in to self-pity, we are not pleasing God. When we allow anger to turn into bitterness, we are not pleasing God. And the way to deal with these things is to humble ourselves before God and to admit that they are wrong and to confess them and to ask God for forgiveness. Now that begins to create a different ethos around yourself. It's an ethos in which God begins to pour down his blessing. And the Spirit of God begins to get an opening into your life. Number two is forgiving those who have hurt you. Forgiveness brings you into a new realm of relationship with God, and it releases a new blessing on your life. So whoever has hurt you, forgive them. Remember that forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice that you make. And it's a choice that you stick by when the feelings come back again. So repel the black dog by throwing him the stick of forgiveness. Number three, trust in God again. Turn all your problems over to God in prayer. Today we heard from the Bible, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. First of all, trust in the Lord. This is not a superficial experience. This is a deep expression of trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not your mind. Don't listen to your mind. Put the thoughts out of your mind and begin to trust in God with all your heart. Then it says, submit to him. Believe that God has a purpose for your life and what he is trying to accomplish in your life through these hurtful circumstances. Ask yourself, am I listening to lies? Are these lies of the devil? And begin to focus your mind on God. And the outcome, the Bible says, he will straighten out your life. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So repentance, forgiveness, and trust, all these are summed up in a little story I want to tell you about a lady called Catherine. Her childhood was strained by an absence of love. She had no love from her father or from her parents. Her alcoholic father never showed her any love. After he divorced her mother, he tried to kill her and her sister by rigging a car accident, but she survived. He died after a barroom fight when she was just 15. She was gang raped and underwent an abortion. Did this girl suffer from depression? Yes, all her life she suffered from depression. She became a Christian and began to recover. But the man she married was unfaithful to her, and she went through a divorce, and she sunk back into depression again, and she became a drug addict and an alcoholic once again. And then one day when she was on the point of committing suicide, these are her words. She said, "What felt like a brick slammed into the back of my head, and I fell to the floor. I don't know how long I lay there, but God spared my life. I know that he had a plan for me, and his plan was for me to prosper and not to die." God wants to say that to you this morning. His plan for you is for you to prosper and to live and not to die. She says, "I got on my knees and in tears I begged God to let me back in. I asked for deliverance from my addiction. I pleaded for forgiveness." She said, "I now have 2.5 years of sobriety. My girls are back with their mother. I am back with my Savior. I have learned to forgive people who hurt me, and I've asked for their forgiveness. She learned to throw some sticks. She learned some tricks of her own to teach the black dog in order to tame it. Are you getting any help this morning in knowing how to tame your black dog? Create an ethos around yourself of humility and repentance. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. And finally, flood your life with God's word. Don't just patch things up on the surface. Deal with the deeper problem of a poor self-image. Flood your life continually with God's word in all its forms, with songs, listening to tapes, reading books. Above all, commit yourself to sitting under the inspired word of God every week at church. I challenge you to take the 15-minute test every day. Spend 15 minutes reflecting and meditating on God's positive word. As we heard this morning, all that is true, all that is noble, all that is good, all that is kind, think about these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Abraham Lincoln suffered greatly from depression, and his dressmaker, or his wife's dressmaker, once told of watching the president drag himself into the room where she was fitting the first lady. She said his step was slow and heavy, and his face sad. Like a tired child, he threw himself upon a sofa and shaded his eyes with his hands. He was a complete picture of dejection. He had just returned from the War Department, he said, where the news was dark, dark everywhere. Lincoln then took a small Bible from a stand near the sofa and began to read. A quarter of an hour passed, she remembered, and on glancing at the sofa, the face of the president seemed more cheerful. The dejected look was gone. In fact, the countenance was lightened up with new resolution and hope. Wanting to see what he was reading, she pretended she had dropped something and went behind where Lincoln was sitting so she could look over his shoulder, and she perceived that he was reading from the book of Job. Take the 15-minute challenge. Get in the Word of God. Reflect on God's Word and remind yourself what God says about you. Listen to what God says about you. Not only read what God says about you, but memorize it and repeat it and get it into your brain and spend 15 minutes every day. That's the medication. 15 minutes in the presence of God and 15 minutes with the Word of God, and wait for it to begin to work. If you find that it's not working after a week or two, don't give up. Many people pack in at this stage complaining that God isn't helping them. God will help you. You must determine to do everything necessary to conquer this problem. If your problem is a deep one, you must be prepared to give at least 1 year of your life until you come to a breakthrough. Do not, under any circumstances, give up. Do not move away from the Word of God. Do not move away from trusting in Almighty God. Allow the truth of God's Word to delve deep inside you and confront the lies that have become part of your self-conscious mind. This is a painful and a difficult task, but let me tell you, it's very worthwhile. Confront sinful thinking, which tells you that God doesn't love you and that God can't help you. Wrong thinking will always produce wrong feelings. You must, under all circumstances, confront your thinking. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. People lean on their own understanding and they think they are wise in their own eyes, but that's not the way to go. It's trust in the Lord and in His Word with all of your heart. Confront the sinful thinking. Wrong thinking always produces wrong feelings. Remember that you are a child of Almighty God, and therefore act like it. Stand up straight, hold your head up high, and confess that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. And gradually the light of His Word will flood your inner being, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And it will flood your inner being, bringing you great joy and renewed strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Whatever you do, don't pamper yourself. It's very easy to pamper ourselves and give in to self-pity. But instead, start living for other people. God will not put on you more than he will help you to bear. So this morning, I encourage you not to feed the black dog. I encourage you to throw him some sticks. And I hope that this simple message, a message of humility, a message of forgiveness, the message of putting your whole trust in God, the message of getting into the Word of God and allowing the Word of God not only just to skim over the surface, but to absolutely permeate and flood your life. And I believe, as it has helped me, this word this morning will also help you. May it be so, in Jesus' name.